This is the Coronavirus Update interview of December 16, 2020 on Gila Members Community Radio and KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico. I'm Jamie Newton, your host for today. My guests are Chris Jepson, a recently retired nurse and health educator, and her husband, Grant County Commissioner Harry Brown, both of whom are recovering from illness due to the coronavirus. Chris and Harry, thanks for being with us on Coronavirus Update.
Jamie, it's really a privilege to be here. Thank you for inviting us, and we're happy to share our stories.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie, and thanks to the whole coronavirus outreach crew. You guys are doing an amazing job.
Thank you. Well, both of you became ill with the coronavirus during Thanksgiving week, and now about 3 weeks later, you're pretty well over it. Your experiences were similar in some ways and quite different in others. Please give us a chronology of your illnesses, the onset and symptoms, testing and diagnosis, and recuperation.
Yeah, I'll go first, Jamie, because I was the first to get ill. I got ill on a Monday. I did not recognize it as coronavirus. You would think all of our antennae have been out for months that I would have immediately thought that was the case, but I had no fever. I had no sore throat or cough. What I had was brain fuzz. I could not think clearly. And, you know, part of not being able to think clearly is not being fully aware that you can't think clearly. So I came home early from work on Monday and I said, I really don't feel like I got much done today, but I didn't put my finger on that being an issue. I woke up the next day. I had a really tight back. So that would be symptom number two. Again, no fever. We have an oximeter, right? Something you slip on your finger. You can measure your blood oxygen level. We had been in the habit of doing that pretty regularly anyway. It was fine. I went to work. I had a more or less normal day, but the backache continued all week. So in my case, that was really the overwhelming symptom. It was a really tight back. I had to take ibuprofen to sleep at night. This is something that has affected me in the past. So again, I did not immediately say, oh, I've got the Rona, right? I did not think that's what it was. So Chris, you want to take over?
Sure. So we actually had an outdoor, very small family Thanksgiving, 6 feet apart, and put all the regular precautions in place. And I woke up on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, and felt really horrible. I had a fever that was in the low hundreds, ached all over, lungs felt like they were on fire, with just a heaviness in my chest, and really felt pretty sure that it would be appropriate to get tested for coronavirus immediately. We called Silver Healthcare, and great folks there just arranged a time to come in and told us where to park in the back of the clinic here in Silver. And well, protective equipment, two healthcare providers came to the car. They were able to do our nose swabs, and actually a nurse practitioner listened to our chest and made some recommendations if our symptoms got worse. My oxygen saturation had gone below 95. So just to clarify, when Harry said before that his didn't seem to be affected, our kind of parameter was 95 and above felt like, okay, we're okay. But if it started to dip below 95% oxygen on the oximeter, then that was more concerning. And mine was staying below 95%. So we stayed hunkered down for the rest of Friday and Saturday. We informed those we were closest with that we thought we might be positive, that we got tested. Our two sons communicated with Harry's mom and waited to hear what our test results were. Harry, do you want to pick it up?
We do good tag teaming. So we expected we'd get our test results on Monday, but it was on Sunday morning. We woke up. And I'm in the habit, of course, of making a cup of coffee or two or three. And it's usually one of the highlights of my day is sitting down and sipping my coffee, especially on a Sunday. And it tasted like burnt cardboard. It was horrible. And I said, Chris, something's wrong. This is not good. And she had the presence of mind to pull out some perfumed candles and soaps that we have, friends have given us. We could not smell the strongest perfumed soaps you can imagine, nothing. So that was shocking and pretty confirming, right? We were like pretty sure that we had the coronavirus. And later that day, a little earlier than we had expected, we got a call on a Sunday from Silver Health, and they let us know that sure enough, our tests were positive, which by then we had expected. So we called back the folks that we had told that we suspected that we had the virus and told them that indeed we were positive. And if we had spent any, you know, time at all in their presence, we suggested that they should get themselves tested and check for symptoms and don't spread it. Quarantine until you find out whether you've been affected or not. Chris?
Well, so to clarify, we really had not been around anyone without following the guidelines of wearing masks, being 6 feet apart. And Harry and I were really the only people in each other's sort of COVID pod. So even our sons that we took those precautions around. Being outside for Thanksgiving was just an exception to be with Harry's mom and her partner. So it felt like we'd been careful, but we still went through, in my experience anyway, just an emotional upheaval of who we might have affected. The other thing I wanted to add is that we started on Friday. So before we got our results, we started sort of a cocktail of supplements that were recommended. And so zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D, and something called quercetin, which is an antioxidant that we got from the local co-op. Easily, without going in the co-op, it was delivered with the toss to Harry. So Sunday we really realized like, okay, we've got to just up our absolute isolation.
So clearly, you were both very careful people. Chris, you're a nurse, and Harry, you're an elected official. You've been paying a lot of attention to the public policy implications of the coronavirus pandemic. So I think one of the implications here is that taking every precaution matters a great deal and reduces risk, and there is no absolute elimination of risk. You were careful not to get the disease and not to pass it around, and yet you did get it. And you then very quickly began to contact people that you might have exposed. Let me just ask, did anyone take steps to do contact tracing to help you find out how you may have gotten this and who might have been infected by you?
Sure, I'll go first. I was contacted on Monday. So we got our official word on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And on Monday, contact tracer from the State Department of Health contacted me. They did have me go back through all the contacts I could think of for the previous 14 days, but their attention seemed to wane as I got farther and farther back into history. And really, they were focused on people that we may have come into contact with in the previous few days, it seemed to me. But Chris and I had, you know, quite a while by that time, 3 days, to come up with lists of everywhere we may have been. And I might say, you know, we really were careful. We had limited our shopping trips to once a week. And certainly in the meetings I have to go to as a county commissioner, even those that are still in person, I wore a mask constantly. So I think the way you phrase it is exactly right. We know that reduces your risk. Obviously, it does not eliminate your risk.
And part of that risk, I think, is that all of us are around some people in some settings, you especially, Harry Brown, in public meetings where other people either are not wearing masks at all, or they remove their masks in order to speak, or for a little while to get a drink of water several times. There are times when we're around people where the precautions are less complete, and we can't help that.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I understand people who feel they have to remove their mask to speak. It's frustrating to try to speak through that thing. But that is one point of vulnerability in our system. And I had had a couple of meetings over coffee outside, you know, coffee to go, sitting in a park with people. But it's true. When you remove your mask to drink your coffee, You could be vulnerable. And the fact is, you're vulnerable. Even if you're just wearing a mask, you could just get unlucky. Anyway, unlucky, that was my U.S.
And who among us has not at some point thought, oh, I just adjusted my mask and then I rubbed my eye. I shouldn't do that, right? I mean, there are things that we do. So
I suppose that's true.
You've told us a little about how you approached self-care. Obviously, you sheltered in place. You avoided contact with anybody else. You took supplements that are available through outlets like the Silver City Food Co-op. And we have a number of good herbalists around that we can get antiviral tinctures from, whatever we think we want to trust. What about any treatment from healthcare professionals? Were you offered treatment after your diagnosis?
Sure. So the nurse practitioner that I saw at Silver Healthcare did prescribe albuterol inhaler and Flonase. I wasn't feeling that my symptoms, either with congestion, nasal congestion, or even lung, I sort of had a parameter of it stayed below 90, that using the albuterol inhaler, which was the recommendation she made as needed, that I would use it. But other than that, my primary doctor at Silver Healthcare had made the same recommendations about supplements when she heard that I wasn't feeling well and was waiting the results of the COVID test. Recommended the zinc and the vitamin D and the vitamin C. And then we'd read about quercetin. I also was so appreciative. I didn't mention before, but I had already Bear Creek Herbs, Lung Strong, and Respirees, and some zinc drops from the co-op. Like, you know, all those things just made me feel better. Another step that I took, I know Harry has mentioned that he really didn't have the respiratory symptoms that I had. But I mean, frankly, for good days, I was anxious with my primary goal of I need to stay out of the hospital. And having the oximeter at home really helped me to have in my mind, as I'm still a nurse, though I'm not working, you know, the parameters of thinking, okay, below 90, if I can't, and then practicing, I had an incentive spirometer, which if you've had a surgery where there was concern that you needed to keep your lungs open, it's a easy technology that requires you deep breathe to keep a little weight lifted with your air. And I just put that on the counter and I used it whenever I didn't feel well. By day four, I was able to do some gentle stretching, which felt so good on my muscles. And I took a nice, not too hot bath that also just helped, like really feeling connected with friends and family as well. Zooming and getting, you know, sort of cheerleading, and people dropped off soup and just were willing to run errands and drop things off. So those were other things that we took into consideration, but no, we did not use any prescription medication in our recovery and felt lucky that we didn't have to. But I know there's talk of many therapies now that can be useful and keep people out of the hospital.
Social support.
I wanted to add one thing, Jamie.
Go ahead, Harry. Yeah.
Just because Chris mentioned incentive spirometer, which is not a term a lot of people will be familiar with, in the vein of public health education, a balloon works really well, right? Uh-huh. I've heard you recommend this, Chris. Just get a balloon, blow it up, deflate it, blow it up, deflate it. The point is to exercise your lungs. And I thought that was a really good technique, Chris. That made me feel less anxious about you.
Good to know. Good to know. So,
and I would add with the balloon, taking the deep breath in fully before you then blow it up is part of keeping those lungs open. All right.
Excellent. People may want to do that even if they're not sick. So social support was very helpful to you. And can you say a little more about the emotional impact of this illness on you and on your close circles of family and friends?
So we had dinner outside with masks, unless we were eating, and separated as well as we could because we were on other two opposite sides of an 8-foot picnic bench. And we had two separate seats set far away with our two sons and with my mom and her good friend. And so that was the one event that we were terrified we might have just done exactly what we worked so hard to avoid doing for months. So I think that, you know, that was the source of emotional anxiety that you referred to, that we might have really blown it at just the wrong time. We had this social event after really very rarely having anything like that. We had eaten with some other people outdoors, same setup, everybody trying to stay as far away as they could. And this one just happened to occur during a period where it was obvious that I was contagious. I almost surely got my wife sick, right? So that there's that feeling bad already. There was also the fact that with this disease, you don't know what direction it's going to take. And we've all read how common it is that people feel better after a few days of illness. And then a few days later, it turns really bad, right? And there's this cytokine storm where your immune system kicks into overdrive and damages your own organs. And there's the possibility of blood clots. So there was that anxiety as well. I would say that's not normally present when somebody is very ill. We're always worried about the ill person. But I would say this was an added worry in our lives because of the stories we've all heard about how coronavirus can go bad. Chris, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I certainly am on the same page with feeling so worried about your mom and her partner. But the angst I felt with every call that we had to make and thinking that because of us, people were having to go through the testing, which is uncomfortable. So many people have experienced it multiple times at this point. But, you know, to have to call somebody and say, we may have caused you harm, and now you're going to have to go through something, and the emotional anxiety because we chose to have an outdoor Thanksgiving with intimate family or just with our closest family. So I mean, every person that I contacted, I felt extreme, I guess I would say guilt. And I think most of the people that I contacted were, you know, very gracious. I have been hiking with one friend frequently, one friend, different days, a different friend, like all through coronavirus. I felt so lucky to live in a place where that felt like a safe activity. And I have worn a mask every time, though I was outside. I felt like if I'm hiking on a trail that's single file and I'm behind a person and they're not wearing a mask, I'm breathing their air and vice versa. So I wear a mask when I'm hiking. I've worn a mask when I run. And I like, without exception, have worn masks. But there, I've been tested. This was the third time during coronavirus pandemic that I have been tested. And every time I was an active nurse the first time, and I thought, I was so careful. I have a bleach spray in the car. I would spray everything down. I would keep everything clean. And I never went into somebody's house, but I would go up to their door with my mask on. And then I thought, would I have to tell every one of those people that I then tested positive because I spent 5 minutes on their front porch? And it was really just, I think as a nurse in particular, you just don't want to do any harm. So thinking that I could have caused harm was really hard when I found out that actually indeed this time I was positive. But the good side of that is, except for our son, one of our sons tested positive without any symptoms and still has not had any symptoms. None of the other people we spent time with. So though something happened, there was a breach in our protective measures that we got it, but we felt pretty proud that we didn't spread it to someone else. So it stopped with us, basically.
Well, thank goodness for that. And I'm hearing that it took quite a bit of courage and love and confidence between yourselves and the family members and friends that you had been around to cope with this illness. We'll conclude our interview for Coronavirus Update for December 16th, 2020 with that. Chris Jepson and Harry Brown, thank you so much for speaking to our listeners about your personal experiences contracting the coronavirus and recovering from it.
Thank you, Jamie. Thanks for your program.
Yes, thanks for the good work that you do educating our community.
And thanks to Marcus Hansen, our audio engineer and producer of Coronavirus Update. Thank you for listening and for supporting GMCR and KURU. Be safe and well. For Gila Mimbres Community Radio and KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City, New Mexico, I'm Jamie Newton.